Okay, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Sister Kennedy, can you hear me? Sister Kennedy.
You ought to be hollering at me.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No, can't hear me. Okay, well, I don't know how to fix that. Okay, good morning, everyone. If you do not know me, I am Lisa Dillard. In saying that, you going to make this life easier? Oh, you're going to make it louder. Oh, I'm sorry. I get loud sometimes. This could be bad.
Can you see everything?
Yes. Yes, I'm good. So our class this week is Recognizing and Overcoming Spiritual Stagnation. So, this is a tough subject. It was for me anyway. Because immediately, what my brain went to, what is really spiritual stagnation? So, on your paper today, I have put on there a bunch of scriptures. The scriptures are not all going to be on this screen. There's a lot of them, so I did not put them all on the slideshow. Okay, but it is on your paper. So what is spiritual stagnation? Spiritual stagnation is a state where spiritual progress has slowed or stopped. You still attend church, but your hunger, joy, and passion have dimmed. The key word here is apathy. A lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Spiritual dryness is very common, but a dangerous season. It doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It means your fire is flickering, your passion is fading, and you're vulnerable to spiritual apathy. This lesson provides biblical insight, practical guidance, and apostolic power to break through stagnation and experience spiritual revival. This subject was hard for me to take and study because, let's just be honest, I've been here more than a few times. If you've had a walk with God for any amount of time, you've been here. But we don't always realize the warning signs. So our first warning sign is decreased desire for prayer and the word. In Psalms 119, 103, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, ye sweeter than honey to my mouth." Our next one is no emotional or spiritual response in worship. In Isaiah 29 and 13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Our third one is indifference toward the lost or spiritual growth. It's Proverbs 24, 30, and 34. "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and needles, and covered the face thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." So that came to me as in, it touched base, because I am involved in a lot of ministries. But in these ministries that I'm involved in, I got to the point where I said, okay, yeah, I'm doing all this for the kingdom of God, but when was the last time I went out and witnessed to someone and invited them to church? When was the last time I reached out and said, look what God can do for you? Yeah, my presence is there. Yeah, I go out and I feed the homeless. I go out and I do all this different stuff, outreach for the community. But did I witness to them and try to get them to the house of God? I didn't. So there was one of my spiritual stagnations. When do you realize that? It's serving out of obligation and not passion. In Galatians 6 and 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. This lesson has a lot of scriptures that go with it. A lot of this, you would have the ability to take and look up on your own. But you wouldn't have all this put together in one handout, one way to reach it. And if you're anything like me, the first time I felt this, I had no clue what it was. I was doing everything I was supposed to, so I thought. But God wanted me to move into a new ministry that I didn't want to move into. I'm not going to lie, I didn't want to do it. Because it put me up on the platform in front of everybody, and I said, there's other people that do better than that. Other people have more pretty voices than I do. So I got to a point where every time I would bend down to pray, my prayers would go up and they'd stop. Y'all ever felt that? Well, but I'd hear the same thing in my spirit. Go sing. But Lord, I'm already singing in the choir. That's not what he wanted. Go sing in the praise team. So then I'd be like, okay, I'd make it past that. And I'd get to church and I'd be praising and I'd start worshiping. Same thing. My praise would be up about here. It'd stop. Well, same thing. I'd feel in my spirit. Get up here and sing. But I sing in the choir. That's singing, right? Yep, that's not what he wanted. So, we'll get to the rest of that story in a few minutes. Causes of spiritual dryness. Neglect of spiritual disciplines. It says Jesus withdrew often to pray. This is in Luke 5 and 16. When you neglect prayer, fasting, and the word, your spirit starves. Our second one is unconfessed sin or compromise. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's in Psalm 66 and 18. Even small compromises can desensitize the heart. Our third one is routine without relationship. The Ephesian church had works, but no love. That's in Revelations 2, 4, and 5. You can go through the motions and still be spiritually dry. That was me. Four, burnout and busyness. Jesus said, come apart and rest a while. That's Mark 6 and 31. Ministry or life pressures without personal renewal leads to burnout. I am world's worst for being busy. So people see me around church all the time and they'll go, oh, you're always doing something. Unfortunately, just because if you're always busy in the house of God doesn't mean that's always what you're supposed to be doing. I learned that one the hard way. I have a past where I have to keep busy in the house of God because of my own spiritual development. I can't sit and have an idle mind because that's what Satan uses to a disadvantage for me. Not everybody's like that, but this is Lisa. in saying that, I was putting myself in so many ministries, I hit a point where all I was doing when I came to church, when I walked the door, was working. I'd walk in the door, I'd do welcoming stuff, I'd go, oh, it's time to get to work. Everything I did, the whole church service, one day I realized I was looking at it as a job. Yes, we work for the kingdom of God. But when we're here, we're to help also build ourselves. If we're not getting involved in hearing the word, if we're not getting involved in the praise and worship, we're not growing. And that's what the big picture comes to, is we got to grow. So we have biblical strategies for personal revival. Oh, I like this. It says, return to your first love. Do the first works. In Revelations 2 and 5, this is God speaking. It's in red. It says, remember therefore from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Revisit the altar. Reignite your prayer life and discover your hunger. Our second one says, stir up the gift. Fan the flame. In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, whenever I put thee in remembrance that thou art, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Spiritual gifts dormant when not activated by prayer, use, and boldness. 3 says, break up the fallow ground. Repentance prepares the heart for rain. Hosea 10 and 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ask yourself, what hardened area of my life needs to be broken up? The fourth one is, drink again from the well. The Holy Ghost refreshes dry hearts. Isaiah 44 and 3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Another scripture that goes with that is John 4 and 14. This is once again in red. That means Jesus is speaking. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Be intentional to spend time in the Spirit and seek a fresh outpouring. The fifth one says, renew your mind. Saturate your thoughts with truth. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may provide what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Over on the back of your page, there is a sixth one. And it says, worship through the dryness. Even when you don't feel up worship. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Your breakthrough may come through praise and not feeling. Your breakthrough may come when you are least expecting it. So the first time I experienced anything with this, I done told you it was because God wanted me to do something that, let's just be honest, I didn't want to do. After I accepted what God wanted me to do, it's like everything fell in place. Does that make sense? It's like you get peace of mind. You get comfort. You're in there and you're reaching a new level in your walk for God. So one thing I've realized over the years, your walk with God is in different levels. But what it all comes down to is choices. I could sit up here today and give you example after example of people in the Bible that made choices that God didn't want them to. But in that same situation, I can give you examples of people that made choice that was following God's will. But even though the ones that made the choices that God didn't really want them to, they still had a chance to correct it. Does that make sense? So God has already chose us, plain and simple. We have to decide if we choose God. We have to decide if our walk is going to be at bare minimal to make it. Or we have to decide if our walk is going to be exactly what God wants us to do in His will. Now, I also learned a long time ago that is not Lisa's will. What does that mean? That means that there's times I'm not going to want to do something that He wants me to. Or there's going to be times I want to do something that He doesn't want me to. It is up to us to choose whether we're going to fully walk with God so He can use us to the best of the abilities He wants to. Okay? So our next thing says, how do I prevent future stagnation? Stay connected to the body of Christ. In Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Our second one is keep spiritual discipline fresh. Psalms 1 and 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Our third one is serve with passion, not routine. I remind myself of this one daily. In Colossians 3 and 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to unto men. Our last one says, stay filled with the Spirit. That's in Ephesians 5 and 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When I told you there's different levels to your walk with God, my level in my walk with God is going to be different from yours. Does that make sense? God's going to ask of me different things than what He's going to ask of you. Does that mean that my walk is better than yours? Absolutely not. Does that mean that your walk is better than mine? No. But if we are doing exactly as God wants us to, then we're going to be in His will and we're going to see mighty blessings. We are going to have times where we're not going to choose what God wants us to do. Been there, done that. Does that mean that I can't turn around and do God's perfect will? No. If I'm willing to make the choice to serve God for everything within me, then everything's going to be perfect. I say perfect, and people look at me. But whenever you're in that perfect will of God, that's what you feel is complete peace, harmony. Everything just flows right into place. Does that mean you're going to not fight spiritual attacks? Absolutely not. You're going to fight. That's how you know you're doing something right. If you weren't doing right in the choices you made with your walk with God, you wouldn't be fighting so hard. Okay? So, I have one more thing on this, and it's a memory verse. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is the memory verse in my studying and in the outline that I was given for this that stood out to me. It's a constant uphill battle. If you get to a point where you're staying still and you don't feel like you're moving at all, push harder. Pray more. Read more of the Word of God. At one point, I had, I'll be honest, everything in this I was doing. But I was also working in the church. And I made it to where I was only praying when I came to work. Well, that was no effort on my behalf. In other words, it was convenient because I was just here. So I hit a point where I wasn't moving. I was staying still. So how did I fix that? I started to come to work an hour early. Why? I never even went to my classroom. I didn't do anything else. I went straight to the sanctuary. Why? Because even though I was praying every day, it wasn't an effort. Does that make sense? Because it had become my routine. So I had to advance it. These slides, all this, everything I've given you, once again, you can look it up in the Bible yourself. You could have found it yourself. So mine today was just telling you a part of Lisa's personal journey. Once again, I could have gave you 50 stories of people that done this, done that in the Bible. I didn't. You can look at those examples yourself. You've already heard the stories. The main thing is what's your walk? What's your next step? We have some questions here. And these questions, when I was looking at them, I went, wow. What are some warning signs of spiritual stagnation that you've noticed in yourself or others? Anybody? Go ahead.
One of the early ones is being okay with not coming into service.
That's true.
Just staying home.
I've experienced that. I couldn't tell you how many times since we've started this stuff on Facebook that you get up on a Sunday, you just don't feel like it, and you go, I'll just watch it live. Mm-hmm. I agree. Make yourself come. Anybody else?
Distractions.
That's true.
There's always something trying to distract you from being in the Lord's presence.
That's true. And distractions can even happen inside when you're in church, can't they?
Yes.
That's one thing I've learned. I can't watch other people.
Yeah.
I'm a people watcher. I'm just being honest. I like watching what people do. But I can't do that in church because I'm like, oh, no. That is about me. Anybody else? Okay. Second question. Which spiritual discipline do you tend to let slide during dry seasons? Go ahead.
My worst problem is fasting.
Fasting, yeah.
I'm really slack on fasting. I really just work on that.
Right, I understand. Anybody else? No? Mine is prayer. Not the two-minute prayer, the real prayer. Does that make sense? The one where I connect with God. That's what I'll find in myself whenever I'm in a dry season is my prayer life isn't where it needs to be. Our next one is, what has helped you personally recover from spiritual burnout in the past? Anybody want to volunteer to answer this one? Go ahead.
Other church members reaching out helps a lot.
It does make a difference. Church family. Yes. Go ahead.
Music.
Yes.
Worship with music is just so
beautiful. So I found myself in the same situation with the music. I'll just tell you. Raised on classic rock. I would listen to Christian channel and then I would turn it over to classic rock. Am I telling you there's anything wrong with listening to other music? I'm not. But I'm telling you, for me, I couldn't have that. Because my mind went back to the days of the classic rock, the things I was doing listening to it. So that's the reason I had to go to nothing but Christian. Because at least if my mind goes to what that is, at least I'm in the house of God praising and worshiping. Anybody else want to answer that question? No? Okay. Which other revival strategy stood out to you most and why? Which one stood out for your personal revival?
Number
Number five? Okay.
The mind is a battlefield.
Absolutely. The mind is a battlefield. And that's one that I think Satan tries to mess with us all about, is the mind. Because get it in your mind and get you thinking about it, and then seem to get a little bit off track. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead.
So she's right, but in saying your mind, a revival mindset is getting out of your comfort zone and accepting a ministry that you don't think you need.
There you go. Exactly. I was actually going to say that. Today, me standing up here talking in front of you, so out of my comfort zone. Didn't want to do it. Not going to lie to you. Absolutely not. But once again, it's not always about what we want to do. As soon as I was asked to do this, Lisa's personal thing was absolutely not. But I got checked real quick. It's not always about what you want. It's what God wants. And a lot of times in any ministry I do, I'll say, God, if I can help touch one person's life to help draw closer to you, then so use me. I'm a willing vessel. Anybody else have a revival strategy? Go ahead.
Well, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death and spiritual is life. So it's whatever you feed yourself. If you're sitting there watching old movies, Gilligan's Island, Gunsmoke, Andy Griffith, all the stuff that's not really bad, but you're not feeding your spiritual mind. One of the things I like to do for myself is watch Matthew Tuttle, Aaron Bounds, Bobby Way, Josh Herring. Even some ministers that's dead and gone, I like to feed on the apostolic preaching. That helps my spiritual walk the best.
That's absolutely right. And even though you may do something as in hobby-wise that is not bad spiritually, it can be. If you're doing nothing but putting all your focus on that and not putting the things on the Word of God, then that's what your mind's going to be thinking about. Okay, anybody else? Revival strategies? No? Well, listen, I was short today. I'm not going to lie to you. I was supposed to talk to you for 30 minutes. I am just now on 30 minutes. So, just throwing that out there. Anybody have any questions or anything? Go ahead.
This somebody may have said this. I'm the one who came here, my sister. But, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever changed churches and went somewhere else. Okay. When you go to that church, you go to the first service and everything just wonderful. Boy, this is a great church. You know. Then as you go there a while, what do you start doing? You know, you start looking what's wrong. And then you find yourself back in the situation where you was before you got there.
Yep.
And the thing about it is I've been in church a long time. I went through a lot of things. But I've just realized lately this. When you're thinking of all the things that's wrong in church and all of the things that you don't like and looking at the people and judging them, you're in a dry place. You're in a place where God can't help you. You're in a place where God's not led you, and you're not allowing Him to lead you out of there. You can't grow spiritually. No way. Because all you're doing is focusing on the things that you think's wrong now, and that you think the other people around you, what they're doing. And that's been a eye-opener for me probably for the last 2 years. Not that I don't see.
Right.
I'm not blind. And not that I don't hear, although I'm deaf. But you see and you hear things. But you just got to put them in the blood, under the blood, and go on and realize that we're all human.
Yeah.
And we go through these, but we can't let it affect our walk with God, because we go to a place where we're just dead.
Right.
We're not moving. We're just dead. Because we don't walk in. We don't go in. Man, what a service that was. You don't do that.
That's the point you get to.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, that's something I've always told my kids and even people new to the church. I always say, you're not here for people. You're here for God. Now, it's hard to always remember that because you do get close to people. And you see some people slip in their living and you start questioning or you get to a dry spot where you start looking around you. Season. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, piggybacking off what he said, if you talk about a spiritual dry place, you can recognize in your own self a spiritual dry place and what he's talking about because you're more easily offended at little things. And if you're in a, we are a revival church.
Yes.
If you've ever been somewhere else, you know we are a happening church. And the number one thing that the enemy is going to try to do is drive division between us. That's why unity is preached all the time. And what? How does division start? It starts by being offended.
Yes.
So if you recognize yourself being offended, then you need to search. It says to search your own, you know, look at the plank in your own eye before you look at the splinter in your brother's. So that's what that means. Look at yourself because you're probably in a spiritual dry place if you're seeing yourself get offended very easily over little minor things.
Right. That's awesome. Well, I hope I didn't bore you all to death today. I am not a Bible theologian by no means. I'm a very straightforward individual. But thanks for joining us today. Let's say a prayer real quick before we get out of here. Lord, I pray today, dear God, you help walk with us. Help us every step, every word, every action. Help reflect what you want from us, God. Lord, let us have open hearts and open minds and move in the ways in which you want. We're going to thank you in advance in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Thank you.